Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. It's always exciting to come before you, talking real to you. Being that we'd like to take this opportunity to share some very important information with you, my name is Dr. Loretta D. Smith, the host of Talking Real to You, and my co-host is my daughter, Lauren D. Smith. She's not going to be with us tonight because she's not feeling well. We're the only father and daughter talk show team in the U.S. or anywhere. So we're very excited about having this opportunity to bring you some dynamite conversations, some energetic conversation. But we want you to make sure you join in. You can call. You can call our call-in number, which is 347-857-4192. And if you just want to listen to the show through the web link is www.blogtalkradio.com/L. Alberto Smith Production, and production is P-R-O-D. And from that point, when you click on that, you should be able to go to where you need to be to hear our show. Oh, tonight we have an excellent format for tonight, and we're gonna focus on a couple of topics. Now, the thing about it, the question is why? Why talking real to you? Because the real talk shows are afraid of addressing issues that affect our daily lives. They are just too basic. So what we like to do is go way beyond. We want to talk about issues that we most folks don't want to talk about. So that's what it's all about with Talking Real to You. We have a special guest tonight that's going to join us in about 30 seconds, but I want to make sure I introduce him. But before I do that, I want to take this opportunity and offer my prayers as well as everybody from Talking Real to You, as well as L.D. Alberto Smith Production, our prayers to those families and those individuals that lost their lives down in South Florida, down in Parkland, Florida, at Stone Douglas High School. There were 17 individuals. So we want to take this opportunity and just offer something positive. God is awesome. And God will take care of each and every one of you all, and we just want to make you feel at home because as a nation, we're as one. So things are happening rapidly throughout the country that we're not happy with, we're not proud of, but what we want to do is make sure we show support for those individuals down in Parkland, Florida. All right, allow me this opportunity to introduce our special guest. Our special guest today is Coach Dandre Evans. I'm going to make sure I say that right because I was saying something different. Coach Evans, are you there with us?
Yes, I'm here with you.
All right, Coach Evans. Thank you for taking this opportunity.
Yeah,
I can hear you. I can hear you, Coach. Yeah, he loud and clear. I really want to thank you in advance for taking this opportunity and accepting our invitation to come and talk with us in regard to we kind of got a topic that we know that's going on in this month of February, which is coaches versus cancer. And we wanted you to come on and you kind of share your story with everybody, all of our listeners. We want to be informal, so it's not going to be a bunch of rapid questions at you. When I keep saying we, I'm so used to having my co-host here with me, but she's not able to be here. So I'm solo tonight. I'm doing the solo. But you with me, Coach. You and I are going to have this thing tonight. How about that? Yeah, that's awesome.
Yes,
I just
sir.
Want you to take this opportunity now to kind of share who you are, your background, and just whatever you want to share about yourself, and then we'll move forward to that next phase of it.
Okay, well, thank you for having me on today. I am a coach here in Montgomery at Booker T. Washington Magnet High School. I've been a coach for about 17 years, and I've been a teacher in the Montgomery Public School System for about 21 years. And I enjoy what I'm doing. Obviously, I had an opportunity being in those positions to impact a lot of people's lives and to do positive things for others, and I enjoy doing it. This year here, my 21st year, my 17th year of coaching, I had to face a battle that I didn't expect to ever have to face. I had to face a battle. I had to deal with cancer. Found out I had prostate cancer this year. And it really was an impact, took a toll on my life, took a toll on what I believe in. It kind of shook me pretty well. But I gathered myself up, put my faith in God, which it had always been, and I put it to the test. And God has blessed me beyond measure. And it's been a wonderful experience because of all the people that I deal with each and every day, working with kids that depend on me, working with players that depend on me. They all were looking to see how I was going to face this obstacle. So with my belief in God and with so many impressionable eyes looking on me, I was able to face this challenge with a lot of support and a lot of help. So I'm just looking forward to being a positive impact on others and letting people know that that is with God and with a strong belief and great character, you can't overcome some strong obstacles in your life.
Folks, that is so awesome to hear. And, you know, the thing about it, when we have our support and we have our trust in God, God do great things, and we just have to believe and trust in Him. Being that this is coaches versus cancer month, I'm going to say month, but that's where we wear sneakers and the coaches is doing that. And I know at this time, I know we're in the playoff. And can you kind of tell us a little bit about your team and some of the challenges that you dealt with this year? Because I know you came back at some point after you had got the clearance to come back.
Yes.
Can you just share some thoughts in regards to that?
Yes. Well, at our school, it is a magnet school, and we each year we face some overwhelming odds because we don't have any facilities. We don't have any sports facilities. We don't have a gym, in other words. So we face insurmountable odds each and every year, but one thing I tell my kids, we're not going to use that as an excuse. We know this coming into the game, so we're going to overcome these obstacles and compete the same way other kids do. So we don't really look for excuses. This year was even more unique in the sense that I wasn't able to be a part of a team until the second week in January. And anyone who knows a little bit about high school basketball, that's the end of the year. I only had 2 weeks to spend with the team, and then we had our area tournament. So, unfortunately, the kids had to go the entire year and the preseason without me being there for them physically. I was there with them in my prayers, and I would talk with them over the telephone in different situations, but I wasn't able to be there with them physically. So we had a tough year when you look at it from wins and losses. We didn't get a win this year, but I think we gained a lot in integrity and in character and in toughness. So we're going to build on that going into the future. So we're kind of really looking forward to the future with the opportunity of me being back and the kids learning from a rough experience that we had this year. My team's makeup, I only had 9th and 10th graders this year. I had two 11th grade players this year, and my other 12 players were sophomores and freshmen. And we're playing on the varsity level, so you can imagine, just think about that scenario and those dynamics and playing on the varsity level without the head coach. It was a tough road to roll. But the kids, they faced it, and they did well. I'm really proud of them.
And that's awesome, Coach. Let me kind of like jump in, and I'm sort of let you catch your breath right now. I can kind of tell you, you may not know, I used to be the AP at Booker T. Washington Magnet High School back in 97 and 98. But actuality was, at that time, they didn't have any athletics on the campus. It had nothing to do with the facility. They just chose not to have athletics. But a lot of our students were leaving and going to their home school and participating in athletics. But one of the things that was discussed was we wanted to make sure instead of our students having to leave when we were still in class at 3:30 or 4:30 or 4 o'clock, because in a magnet performing high school, your class is just – your day just don't end at a certain time. It lasts a little longer because you do things way beyond that. So that was one of the things at that time was Cheryl Carter was the principal, and we worked toward making sure there was some form of athletics at Booker T. Washington Magnet. I just wanted to share that with you, Coach, to let you know that we have the same common goal, and we there's somebody before you that worked hard to make sure to put you in a position. And I'm so proud of you. I'm going to tell you like that, brother. Not what your challenges you're having is that program, I know, when you get those students that excelling at that high level, athletics is not their biggest priority. And when you can get
them
on, if you can kind of share about last year, because you had that's something we have to talk about, because that was a challenge as well last year. Can you just share about last year, meaning in 16-17, how your team performed to the point where it set some history in regards to the performance. Can you just share a little thought about that?
Yes, we had an outstanding year. Our girls team had an outstanding year last year. The girls team, their record, I think, was 21 and maybe 5, I think. I could be off a game or two, but they made it all the way to Birmingham. And that's really kind of unheard of when you think about the obstacles that we have to face. they lost. They ended up losing to Madison Academy, but to make it to Birmingham was mind-boggling, and it really shocked the school. It shocked the state, but it was a testament to all the hard work and the dedication that the students put in. And with the boys team, was the year before we were ranked 20. I'm sorry, our record was 22-3, and we finished the season ranked in the top 5 in 4A. And again, that's both those accomplishments were records for BTW Magnet High School Athletic Program. And overcoming the obstacles that we had to overcome, coming where we had to come from, seasons with one loss. I mean, I'm sorry, seasons with only one win, seasons with no wins, and to accomplish those goals and reach those kind of heights was a testament to the hard work and the belief that the kids had. And it was a great accomplishment to see those kids reach that success and achieve that kind of success.
Coach, again, I say congratulations to you because you have worked and worked to where you have that school at a competing at a level, even though this year didn't go like it's supposed to. I would have to say that your young people, and I shared this with someone, that your young people watch you do fight, so they knew how to fight, because coach, fault. And the thing about it, young people care only when you care. They know you cared enough to say, well, I know I have a challenge here, and I'm not going to give up, and I'm going to work hard. So even though they didn't win a game, even in those years when they won one game ahead of you, God blessed them where they were able to win way above. above 20 games. So, again, I admire the effort, and we never know what our purpose is until we're given a chance to have that purpose put before us. And I really think the impact of knowing that having a coach like you, Coach, means a lot to us, because our goal is not to have them excel to the point where they're so great on the field or on the court and not be able to excel in life. And that's one of the biggest things. Exactly. But let me just kind of ask you a question in regards to that. Again, our goal is to make sure our young people have a chance for success. Is it anything that when you was going through these challenges, you could, I know sometimes you said you called in, you could share with them that kind of inspired them and said, well, Coach, we're going to go give the guy our greatest effort because, you know, Coach, we know you're with us, and even though you're not in present, can you just kind of share some thoughts about the motivational tools you may have used, even in the past years, to get them where they need to be successful?
Yes. One of the most provoking things that had impactful things that had on the kids were each time I addressed them initially, when they first walk into the program, I would set before them very high goals. And the goals will be so high that they would look at me like I'm crazy. And each time I would set those goals, I wouldn't even crack a smile or act like it was something that was – and I believed it, and I always believed it. And they looked at me like I was crazy for believing it. I would set extremely high goals and tell them that they can reach those goals. And as you said, you're looking at kids that most of them hadn't even played middle school basketball. They may have played a little bit of YMCA basketball in elementary school, but they're not athletes at all. And you get a coach that's saying how good you can be, and these are things that we want to achieve, and they're looking like we don't have any gym or nothing. And they're like, what is he talking about? This is crazy. How can he even think that? How can he even demand that of us? And I will hold them to those goals and to those standards each and every day. I told them the only thing that's keeping them from reaching those goals is belief and hard work. If they can give me those two things, I promise you, you can accomplish those goals. And each and every player that played for me and believed in those two characteristics, they achieved success. And the one thing that instilled in those kids was the fact that if you work hard and you have a good attitude, you can achieve things that you never could imagine. And to have an opportunity to instill that in kids who are already talented. These are talented kids. They're above average academically as well, and they come from good. Most come from good families, and they're great kids. So to get those kind of ethics put into them, I think those that give them opportunity to achieve, have great success in life, and it's just something that I always believe in our kids. And to instill something else and like that in those kids can, I think, will really lead them to some successful things in life. And God has blessed us over and over to allow those kids to reach, to do some successful things in athletics when they never thought or dreamed they could have ever did it. And they the only thing they could have a testament to what allowed them to have that success was their attitude and their hard work. So if they can take those two things with them in life, I think that I really prayerfully added some positive to them and help them reach some of the goals that they have in life. And I guess for me, for me to come to always preach, teach, and push about overcoming obstacles, and you can do it. Whatever it is, don't cower down. Be strong. You can do it. Just believe. We come together. We can do anything. For me to constantly preach that and demand that of them, and then for me to have to come and fight this battle, I think that actually strengthened me as well, because I could not go back on what I preached and talk to them the entire time. And they saw me as a person that's I'm a human being, but they always saw me just like, this guy is just different because he demands such high things of us, and nobody ever demanded such things from us in this manner. And for me to have to go through what I had to go through it was my opportunity to show them that, hey, I believe in what I say, and I had to live it out in front of their eyes. And I just thank God that things have been working, and He has showed me success for my attitude and my hard work to overcome this situation as well.
Coach, I tell you, I like to just say hooray to you and your efforts, and just truly being blessed. Understanding your purpose is the most important thing. And, you know, no matter the challenges we have, God has placed you in the right place for some young men and young women. Not only that, you're there for the purpose of your family, and I know they support you in all phases. And but just showing that, you know, that drive, showing that purpose, that I'm purpose-driven. And the thing about it,
yeah,
that's so important. And see, yes, we're talking about coaches and cancer, but we're just talking about life, plain old life issues, having a challenge,
yes,
and then moving forward and working with that challenge. And that's,
yes,
what this is all about. Talking really to you is all about that. Let me give the,
yes,
call-in number again. It's 347-857-4192. You can give us a call, and if you want to share some thoughts, or even if you want to just email me and share some thoughts with me, and I'll have no problem. Some people don't like coming on the radio, but they like to email me, and that's LorenzaDSmith15@gmail.com. All right, Coach. We as I said, we're gonna be informal, so I'm gonna kind of just I'm gonna give you the mic. You have the mic. You've been working real well, and I appreciate you. Just go with it and share anything you want to share in the next 5 minutes with our listeners. That would be what you feel is important. That could be an impact, could be a change. This could be some encouragement. Just whatever you want to share with our listeners.
Well, first and foremost, I want to let each and everyone know that to take care of themselves and to, as much as possible, have regular checks on concerning your health. Again, I realized I had cancer at the age of 46. I was a person that really, going to the doctor was not my favorite thing, not for the simple fact of anything was painful about it. I just felt that I felt good. I mean, there was no need for me going to the doctor. But through the encouragement of my parents, I took them to task and started making my regular visits to the doctor, and in doing so, I realized that I had cancer. And without me making my regular checkups, me finding out probably been much later on in the process, which would have been made me in the fight for cancer that much harder. And me going having regular checkups, catching the cancer at early stage, made the fight against cancer, gave me a greater chance of success dealing with cancer. So I would like to encourage each and everyone to make regular visits to your doctor. Make regular visits to your doctor, because if something is wrong, you need to know it. And the sooner you know it, the better you can be, and the better opportunity you can have to overcome it. That's one thing that I think is very important, and I hope to, in the years to come, kind of be a spokesperson within the coaching community to get coaches to not only to encourage coaches to make sure they're doing, getting their regular visits, but to be a voice in our communities and encourage parents that we come in contact with, parents that come to the game, parents in our communities that we serve, to be more aware of their health concerns and to be sure to know what's going on, check with your doctors, and be sure that you're in good health.
Coach, that's awesome. You know, that's some great encouragement, and I think that's one of the things. And like I said, this show is talking about playing life issues, and health is another area that we talk about. And you're sharing some things, especially with our male population, that sometimes we just don't want to go to the doctor. We think we feel good,
yes,
we look good, we don't have nothing going on. A lot more could be going on with us. So we thank you for those encouraging words. And our listeners, as you listen to the show, if you have someone that you know probably need to go and get themselves checked out, just encourage them to go, because Coach is saying that's what he will continue to share. I'm not speaking for him, but you heard him say that he's going to make sure he share that, not only with just his family members, but just every individual, and especially coaches, because we as coaches sometimes think, you know, we get a little pain, that's because we're nervous. We get a little pain because we're not eating right. But the thing about it, we haven't been eating right. We're stressed out, and our blood pressure might be a little bit higher than usual. So many things going on with you, you know, and I understand, because I coach over 35 years, so I do understand what we can do, because we think we feel good. We think we feel good, and all in all, we might not be feeling good. So to get your regular checkups, and that's so important. So for all our listeners, just share that with all of your family members and your friends. Coach Evans is sharing it with you, and I really appreciate him taking time to share that thought with us and share all his stories, share about his team, and share about the young men and women he's touching the lives of. And, you know, I said, whenever you're doing something, even if you're not successful where people can see it, you never know what you did to make a difference in a person's life. Those young people, even though, they may not won a game, but they know they can win at the game of life because they saw Coach Evans do that and continue to do that. And I know it's a journey, and we know it's a challenge, but we say, you know, when we do it, it's better to show than to talk about it. So that's important. So, Coach, we're gonna kind of wrap the show up at this time in regards to, you know, your interview. I appreciate, like I said, it was informal. Again, you know, if it's just any other thoughts you want to leave in the last 2 or 3 minutes with our audience and our listeners, you have that opportunity now, and then we can kind of move forward with our other part of our show, which if you want to listen on, you can listen on. But we just really thank you for coming on and set this. But I want you to share anything else you may want to share with the listeners at this time.
Okay, well, first and foremost, I want to thank you for allowing me to come on, and I pray that your show continue to be successful and continue to grow. And one thing I would like to share with the audience is to anyone that you know who has cancer or is fighting cancer, I want you to do what you can to support them. If you don't know what to do, then pray for them. Give them encouraging words and help them out with that fight. Because cancer you can survive cancer. You can overcome it, you know. And knowing that you have people on your side supporting you makes it the fight a little bit easier. And just try to support any loved ones you know, anyone you don't know, try to support them in that fight for cancer, because that makes a big difference in dealing with the fight for cancer.
Coach, we thank you. I really appreciate you coming on, and like I said, if you want to continue to listen, it'll be great and good for us. But again, we thank you for coming on, sharing your story, and sharing your encouraging words for our listener. And we do look forward in the future to have you back on the show and share some more thoughts. Okay, Coach, we thank you very much.
Thank you so much. I'll be glad to come back anytime. Thank you.
Awesome. Awesome. All right. At this time, we're going to have our intermission. We always have like two or three minute intermission, play a little music, kind of get our thoughts together for the next half of the show. Again, we thank Coach Evans for coming on, and we're going to just play some music. Then after the music, I'll come back with some encouraging, some dynamic conversation about just plain old life issues.
This is how we do. Faded, honey's in the streets, say money, oh we made it. It feels so good in my
show. And all they said was 6'8", he stood. And people thought the music that he made was good. Then there's a DJ, and Paul was his name. He came up to money, this is what he said. You and OG are gonna make some cash. Sell a million records, and we're making the dash. Oh, I'm buzzing the club.
This is how we do it.
Dancing to dancing like no.
Awesome, awesome. Again, Coach Evan was here earlier on the first half of the show. Again, we're very excited about having him as a guest on Talking Real to You. As we move forward with our show, we got some things that are very exciting that we have some topics, I say, exciting that we want to talk about. And I keep saying we. One of the things is I'm so used to having co-hosts with me, but I'm solo tonight, so really excited about having this opportunity. And one of the things that we want to really talk about is public school versus private school as well as charter schools. One of the things that is being talked throughout the central part of the state, or the state of Alabama, is whether charter school needs to be established in Montgomery or any of the cities in Alabama. And one of the things we have to question and question is whether our schools are really meeting the needs of our young people. So, you know, one of the topics that I wanted to kind of focus on, and it's around that line of public school versus private school versus charter school. It said, why the public school education system failing at helping students' chance for success? You know, I want to kind of just take a few minutes to kind of share some thoughts about that. Recently, I was doing some data research. People said data. I was doing some research in regards to public schools and how we are determined, how we are ranked in the United States. Was always said, and that was in one of the shows recently, I mentioned that Jay Leno, when he was in existence in 2012, made this statement on tonight's show saying that Alabama has the number one football team, but the number 49th state in education. And that statement was concerning. Now, that was like 6 years ago, 7 years ago. Things have changed. Alabama have gradually moved up from 49th to 30th overall. But there's one particular area that addresses this question about chance for success. Why are public schools failing students a chance for success? Being that I'm a longtime educator, I kind of look back at some things that are challenging in our school system. And we all, one of the biggest things I think is everybody want to blame the other person. You know, it's just like parents are blaming teachers are blaming parents. And sometimes administrators are being blamed in there, superintendents being blamed in there. But everybody wants to blame individuals. Why can't we get together and have a plan? And the plan is we must be prepared to teach our young people individually. It's so important. Now, I want you to call in. I don't want to just talk the whole time. I want you to call in. The call-in number is 347-857-4192. Now, if you're on the line now, all you have to do is press 1. I'm going to identify you with the last 4 digits of your telephone number or cell number, and then I'm going to ask you to identify yourself if you want to just use your last name, your first name, and your location. So I'm looking forward to talking about this subject, and we need to because the blame game cannot continue on because we are failing and helping our students' chance for success. And one of the most important things we got to understand about their chance for success is that what happened to them after they leave high school or the secondary level? What happened to them? Are they have positive placement? And one of the things in our career tech area, career technical education, is positive placement. If a student leaves high school with a high school diploma and decides to go to a two-year college, a technical college, or a four-year college, enrolled, he's considered to be a positive placement because he have had the opportunity to go take it to the next level and have a chance for success. If a student decides he wants to go to the workforce, that's a positive placement. He has a chance for success because he can start working whatever that job is and work and be successful and take care of his family. If a student decides to go to the military, that's positive placement. That's a chance for success. Now, the question still is, why are our students failing? Why are the public schools failing? That's the question. I want you to call in, share your thoughts on it, because I think it's important that we have a conversation about why our young people are failing. We, again, the blame game is not the answer. We can't blame the parents because the parents are not working with them at nighttime or working with them in the summer. We can't blame the teacher because you're saying they're in class and not learning. We can't blame administrators because the school is not up to par in the form of discipline. We have to get together and stop blaming and actually put our heads together and do something to make a difference in our young people. We have millennials coming in. All the young people now are considered to be falling in that category of millennials. And for the ones who are not sure, that's those individuals who are born close to the 2000 or within the 2000. They are millennials, and they have a whole different world because we're in the age of technology, way beyond that, till our cell phones have to be updated every day, if not every 2 or 3 weeks. So why can't we update our education? Why can't we make sure our education, whether it's public, private, or charter, let's update our education. That's another way to kind of make sure. No, software needs to be updated. Every phone that you have, they get another series or version of it. You know, they're up to, in the Galaxy, they're up to the 8 and the 9. And then with your iPhone, they're up with the 8 and 9. But at one time, it was just an iPhone. It was just a Galaxy. Now we're up to the 8th and 9th version. So if we want to update technology, we must adjust in our system, adjust in our education process so we can give our young people a chance for success. Again, I want you to make sure you call in, and since you're on the line, just press 1. Add your thoughts to this because I really want to hear from you. I want to know exactly what you have to say in regards to public education. I'm looking now. I have one caller on here, and I'm want to give that caller an opportunity, and that caller last 4 digits is 6291. Caller, you on the line. Could you tell me what's your name and what's your location?
Dr. Smith, I'm calling from Jonesboro, Georgia.
How are you doing?
Good. How are you? I wanted to commend the coach who came on before. I know your subject area has changed, but I wanted to commend the work that he's doing. And hopefully that he will be able to share more with coaches throughout Alabama, throughout his career, because I think that cancer is significant. A lot of young coaches are coming up. They're part of the education system, and I just hope that he will share in different arenas on the impact that cancer's had on his life and even the students that he's worked with.
That's awesome. Thank you, Carla. Really, you know, I really appreciate it. And I know Coach Evans, he's still on the line and hears you talking, and if I could get him back, you know, he may want to respond to it. Coach Evans, I'm going to put you back live. Do you want to kind of address that from our listener?
Yes. I want to, first of all, thanks for the compliment. And it is my prayer that something that I can say or do will impact some other coaches to take initiative to check themselves or to help others or to just be to help someone else, because you know, it's the small things that we do that can turn out to be big things in other people's lives. And I appreciate the kind words, and my prayers that I can do something or continue to do things that can help others in some way. Thank you so much.
And I believe this will make a strong impact on the coaching community, young men who are going forth to wear the gown, get the checkup. I think it's essential,
yes.
And it's something that our, you know, especially African Americans need to hear and to go forward and get it taken care of, that medical piece. You know, that I think that's,
yes.
That's significant. And thank you so much for what you're doing.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. I thank the call as well as our special guest coming back and responding. I do appreciate it. It is all about. Now, we're talking about education. What Coach Evans is talking about is education. Our listener and our caller just mentioned was about educating our African-American community. Now, chance for success. That's what we're talking about. We talk about all of this occurs in public school. Coach Evan works in a public school. It's a magnet school, but it's still public school education. So what he's doing is encouraging each one of those young people have an opportunity to succeed. And that's why every person that get into education, myself being one of them as well, was to put our young people in a position to be successful. Very optimistic about them being successful. But we have to treat them as individuals. One at a time. Teach them one at a time. And we have to. But that's one of the challenges. We want to know another thing that causing our system to fail. It is that we got to be able to be in a position, our educators, to understand that you're not teaching the whole group. You're teaching one child at a time. And as you teach them, even if you got 30 in your class, all 30 of those young people are individuals who have their strengths and their weakness. As an educator, you have to identify. That's one thing I learned a long time ago. As an individual, we should keep the file folders on each child, on what they was doing, their academic side, their behavior side. Each teacher kept a file, so that child is now an individual. He's not in a group just because we put them in our. And now we're doing a computer by the software in our roll book, taking absentees and putting their grades. We also, whatever their work they're doing is put that. So that's a way, also another way for those young people to be successful. So, you know, I applaud all educators. Don't get me wrong. I'm not giving anybody a hard time, but I want us to try to look at how we can help our young people succeed. Give them a chance to be successful. Give them a chance. Another thing is inadequate funding. That is another thing that is challenging to the success of our young people. Just recently, I noticed that our legislature in the state of Alabama is talking about again the educators a 2.5% raise. The last raise that was given to educators was probably about 7, 8, or 9 years ago. I was working then. I'm retired now. And you know what? That 2.5 was enough to help pay our insurance, because before, the state of Alabama was actually paying the insurance, our health insurance. But as soon as we got the 2.5% raise, they took 1% to pay the insurance. So you're really not getting very much. Yes, that field is probably the lowest paid field that is professional-wise. However, they get they're held accountable to a higher standard because they're shaping lives, they're changing lives. So we have to get some funding. I actually attended a meeting a couple weeks ago talking about the meals that are available for to teach and have our schools up to par. And they say that the meal, which is ad valorem tax, was 10 meals. It's a minimum. And Montgomery County minimum is 10 meals. And we just cannot operate like that. We either have to have an increase, so our property tax will increase, so we'll have more money to operate. Now, one of the things I'll tell you is the biggest challenge I want us to keep in mind is that our public don't have any confidence in our way we're operating our funding. So what they do, they would rather not pay any money or give any extra money, give you the minimum, to operate because they don't trust you enough. And that's what we have to be physical accountable. We have to be physical accountable. We have to make sure that every penny is spent to give our young person a chance to succeed. And that's one of the things. And then I believe once the confidence is restored. Now, biggest tack now in public education is charter schools. You know, I had a conversation, in fact, my co-host posted on Facebook about, you know, since she attended private school, she said that, you know, telling the parents, take your refund and go pay for your child to get that education in private school. Now, you know, that it said charter school. Keep in mind, they may operate with some criteria, but they are a public school receiving public funds. The big thought is you're taking money from the traditional school setting or the conventional school setting when charter schools come in. That is not the complete truth with this. And I want us to make sure that we keep that in mind. The funding goes with the student. So if the student goes to whatever this charter school that's being established, charter school A, the funding that was with him at this school, this traditional to conventional middle school, high school, elementary, will follow him, which the funds should follow him because you want to teach him. We all pay taxes, and that's always the thing. We pay minimal amount of property tax, but we still pay taxes. And that money should follow those young people. I just think that we have to have other opportunities so our young people can have a chance for success. So that's my thought on that. And if you got any questions, any comments, any statement, we want you to join us. Just if you're on the line now, which is 347-857-4192, press 1. Identify you with the last four digits of your cell or telephone number, and then I'm going to ask you to talk with us, conversate with us, give us your thoughts about it, if you agree or disagree. It's all open for discussion, and that's what we want to be able to discuss. All right, to kind of move to the next thought we have here written down is, should educators accept the role for the success and failure of the students they teach? That's the question. Should educators accept their role for the success and the failure of the students they teach? That's the question. In this intervention plan that's coming from the state of Alabama, Montgomery Public Schools is under this order to make sure they make some changes. I actually think that's something that's kind of written in there. It is not written so you can see it, is that we're going to attach the students to the teacher. So now, no matter what the situation, what goes on with our young people, if they're not succeeding on those standardized tests, then they will be attached to the teacher, because you're teaching them, and you would want to be attached to those students. I know you're going to say, and some of the callers want to call in and tell me, email me, yeah, but their situation, they don't do this, and this happened at home, yes. But, you know, the parents send the best they have at home up to you. They don't have if they had someone better than that, they'll send them, but they send the best to you. What we have to do is make sure we stay focused on getting to the point where our young people believe they can succeed. That's what we have to do. And it ain't all about where the school and where it is. You know, we talk about certain things. But when we're talking about success, we ought to want to say, well, I just didn't meet the need. We ought to be able to evaluate ourselves, not that a administrator come and sit in your classroom and evaluate you to tell you you're not doing what you should be doing. You're not meeting the criteria that are required when we're evaluating teachers, staff, or whatever it is. We ought to be doing a self-evaluation every month. We should look at what happened in the month before. We should look and see where our students, not based on looking at the test scores. It's looking at exactly what our young people know. So we have to make sure. We have to make sure that our young people are successful. So tonight we're talking about that. And I want you to call in. You can call in 347-857-4192. And when you press 1, I'm going to identify the last 4 digits of your telephone number, and then I'm going to let you come in and add to the conversation. You know, it's exciting to be able to come before you and just talk with you. One of the last things I do want to take some time to talk, you know, I'm solo tonight, so I'm just going where I want to go tonight. And one of the things I want to talk about is Dr. Ed Richardson, the interim superintendent of the state of Alabama Education, Department of Education, stated in about alternative schools. He wanted to have an alternative school for behavior. My question, and I want you to think about it, listen, are alternative schools for behavior good for solving today's student disciplinary issues? I want you to think about that. And like you got in a conversation about it, I want you to jump in. You know, just press 1. If not, just call in 347-857-4192. Those for my listeners on the web link. Just call in. Let's talk about it. We've got about 2 or 3 minutes. We want to talk about it. Alternative schools for behavior. Good for solving today's students' disciplinary issues. I say no. And the reason I say no, first of all, we have to know what the issue is. I don't think we understand it. Whatever disciplinary action they're showing in school might not be their issue. They may have some other things going on. So if we don't get down to the root of what's going on, if we don't dig deep to find out, how can we provide them the service they need to be successful? Putting them in one school, which we know in this system would address certain issues for certain people, but it also will put a certain population in there. And that population will be, and I'm not going to bite my tongue because this show is mine, that is to put young African-American males will be the majority in the school, in that alternative school. So you take them out of this setting, labor them, and they may stay there a year, might stay there 2 years, and the way I'm hearing it, it might be a high school. They may have the kids all the way through high school. So now they're being labeled. They're what? A behavior problem. Some students have behavior disorders, and we need to find out what's going on. There are some things happening in Montgomery County. I applaud you for it. You've brought in social workers that are working. Some schools are using their money, their Title I money, to make sure those social workers are there to meet the needs of those students. And that's one way to address it because you can really find out because you got experts working with them on some of their issues. So that question is something I want you to think about. Now, next week's show, we're going to come back and we're going to follow up with this information. And we want to have you, since you're on the line, press the 1. Preston, 1, so you can talk with us. You can conversate with us because we really, really think there are some challenges going on in education, challenges in our community, and challenges all over, just all over the world in regards to just plain old life issues. So, again, we thank you for joining us. As I said earlier, Coach Evans, we thank you for joining us. Also, our listeners for joining us. Like my host on my Wednesday night show say, take the day, don't let the day take you. So we look forward to seeing, look forward to talking with you next week on Thursday night at 8 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. So you have a wonderful night, and we'll call it a night. Have a joyful night. Good night.
Everybody jump and go ahead and twist your back and get your body.